ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.
Captain of Australia at the age of 22, made his test debut at the age of 20 in 2012, and now, as a 32-year-old, makes his debut for the Australian Sevens team, Michael Hooper, number 77, on the bat and into the cauldron of Sevens rugby.
If you're a rugby fan, you would have loved seeing Michael Hooper back in the green and gold. No, he was not playing for the Wallabies, but over the weekend he did represent his country in the Hong Kong Sevens. It's part of Hooper's push to represent Australia at the Paris Olympics. So how did he go? Is the project helping reframe his relationship with the sport after the disappointment of the Eddie Jones era? And is there any chance this could be a gateway drug to a return to the 15-man code? We asked him. You tell me what you make of his answer. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Michael Hooper is captain of the Wallabies. Now he has represented his country in rugby sevens as well. He's in Hong Kong after a wild weekend. Hoops, how was the experience of your first Hong Kong sevens?
It was fantastic. I really loved the experience. It was very different to anything that I've thought it could be, and then have been involved in previously. So, no, I loved the challenge, loved the atmosphere. It was really special. A lot of Aussies up here enjoying their time in the stands, and we felt really well supported. So, yeah, we had a pretty good tournament. Not great. We got done on the final day in the semi, and then dropped our sort of bronze medal match. But look, we'll take a lot from the weekend, and great to be. Have a lot of pressure. In this time of the year leading into what's coming up.
We'll get into the nuts and bolts of your sevens evolution, but I want to ask you this question. When you get home to your wife and your family and they ask you about the experience of Hong Kong sevens, what are you going to tell them? Because you're obviously someone who's played on the biggest possible stages. So what are you going to tell them about the Hong Kong sevens?
Good question. It's just different. Like, you run out onto the field, you're lying around all day, you're waiting for your chance under the lights of the stadium, and you're on there for 14 minutes. And in my case, on the weekend, I didn't play a lot of minutes. I was coming off the bench with sort of 2 minutes, 1 minute, 3 minutes to go.
You see Australia slowing it right down as Hooper comes onto the field. Well, you know he's good for a turnover.
It's a really different position that I've been in. I've been very lucky to start a lot of my games in 15, so the bench is a nuanced position to be in, and definitely new to me. So different, difficult, but enjoyable. That's probably the main sort of thing I'll be saying. The good thing is I'll get my family to come up to Singapore so they can check it out for themselves.
I saw you only clocked, I think, 19 minutes over five games. That must seem so foreign for a guy who was used to being, an absolute 80-minute warrior in the 15-man capacity. What's had to change for you from a physical and mental side of things as you try to tackle this new pursuit?
Yeah, tackle's exactly right. It's completely new, even though it's passing, tackling, whatever. It is a new and different game.
Well, he's talked about it being 50-50 fear and excitement the longer the wait has gone on.
I don't think it ever stops. No matter how experienced you are, he knows he's putting himself in the challenge.
Physio once said to me, you can't change your model number. So I'm 32 now, and this seems to be the model numbers largely are a bit smaller. Early 20s would have been nice, but I'm having to see with my physicality how I can contribute to this team and in this game and where I can be really effective and do a job. I guess that's the really key thing about sevens is it's everything's highlighted, everything's put under the microscope because there's so much space and so little players on the field.
It's pretty inspiring that you took the disappointment of last year's Rugby World Cup and turned that into a Paris Olympic dream. How is that sort of prospect feeling to you right now, having made your first sort of foray into the sport?
Yeah, look, there's a lot of work to be done. I need to work out, like I said, and find a fit for myself in this team and what I can bring.
Comes Fiji again. There's Lumanai Masi once more. Long bottom just right into the ground. Look at Hooper locked in over that penalty. Well, he did it over the course of 125 tests. That's his bread and butter.
You never know what life could have been if, you go to Paris last year to compete in the Rugby World Cup. Maybe I'm not doing this. So very thankful that, one thing's led to another and I'm here and, have the opportunity to take on this challenge. It was really special, playing for Australia and playing for your country up here. It was, wasn't sure if that was ever going to happen again. So really cool.
I'm sure throughout your career, whether it's, you know, Israel Folau or other players like that who have come from the NRL or other codes into rugby union, you've been the guy, the sort of senior leader, to try and help them make that transition into a different sport. Now, you're the person effectively doing the code hopping. How are you finding that experience? And can you kind of lean on your own experience as being the person to shepherd them through to help yourself, but also help your teammates?
Oh, look, I think when you talk about someone like Israel Folau, he didn't need any help in terms of playing rugby. That guy was an incredible player. So he'd be asking the wrong person if he was asking me. In terms of the environment that I'm in at the moment, the team has been really, really helpful, helping me with the off-field stuff, helping me with on-field stuff. But the best, I mean, when it all comes down to it, when you play a game, you get your most amount of learnings. Mentioned before, it's under the microscope. Things are highlighted. So, you know, we'll go back and have a down week this week and rest and recover. And I'll be able to really pull apart, you know, I guess with help from the players and staff around, okay, maybe you want to try this here next time, or this was good, or, you know, all those type of things. So, and the team have been really, really helpful in giving me that feedback, honest and at times critical, but it's all good.
And what's been the biggest piece of feedback you've received in the short term from your experience at the Hong Kong Sevens?
Run faster. No, I look, me again, I've mentioned it a couple of times, but finding what my fit is within this team. You know, for once in my rugby career, I'm one of the heavier players on the team. So if that's squaring up the line, or if that's affecting change at the breakdown, getting over the ball or being fast to a breakdown to secure our own ball, you know, I'll play that role, and it's just finding what that actually looks like.
Oh, it's good to get the first couple of tackles, and it was two on the bounce from Hooper. Surprise, surprise, he's in the mix in the defensive effort.
Earlier we touched on the disappointment of missing last year's Rugby World Cup, and I think any time anyone suffers a professional setback like that, it can be quite painful. But to me, you sound refreshed, you sound energised. It's obviously a different sport, but is this new challenge helping you fall back in love with the game of rugby?
Look, I had a lot of fun on the weekend, and being a new challenge brings with it, you know, a fair level of nerves and questioning myself, which is all normal and part of, you know, I guess a code switch. So I'm trying to, well, not code switch, but a different form of the game. Just trying to find, you know, where I can fit. But I am refreshed. I'm not feeling it this morning. I feel a little bit beaten up after the weekend. But look, I want to give this a real shake, and sort of this has really whetted my appetite for, you know, getting on the field and contributing and being part of a successful team.
Michael, have you had any or many conversations with new Wallabies coach Joe Schmidt? I know you're both working in the same building. I mean, if I was him, I'd be wanting to pick your brain quite a bit. So have you had a conversation? And if so, what's been your advice?
Oh, yeah. No, Joe's been in. He's been working hard. We've had a couple chats. Brief, he's a busy man. As you imagine, there's a bit of work to be done, you know, and test matches are just around the corner and coming quick, and Lions next year. So it's a really exciting time for the 15s game. I think the quality and the class of players there, and it always has been, getting it together and all firing in the same direction is a challenge for Joe. And we've shared some insights into that, you know, and, you know, I'll pick his brains of what he's seen. He's been in successful environments as well. So, no, he seemed really open and receptive and hungry to see some change.
I was fascinated to see him earlier in the year sort of refuse to close the door on people like yourself, Quay Cooper, Bernard Foley.
The door's definitely not closed, and I think too much of those players that I just mentioned to rule them out.
I mean, I'm sure you're sick of being asked, so I'm sorry to add to that list, but are you 100% done with a 15-man game, or is the prospect of playing for the Wallabies still kind of a possibility?
I actually don't know. So I haven't retired officially from any form of the game, and I kind of like keeping it open. I think the time will become apparent when it does, and it hasn't yet. You know, I'm 32, and guys have had a lot longer careers than I have, but you know, we talked about a new challenge and, you know, maintaining, you know, having fun on the field. And I think I play better when I'm enjoying what I'm doing and trying to improve myself as a person, a player.
What a good bit of extra wisdom to have through these knockout stages. A guy who's done it on some huge stages. And I say Nick Malou probably enjoys having that experience to lean on as well.
So, no, I haven't closed any doors. But, yeah, we'll see what happens.
It's pretty encouraging signs, I reckon, if you're a Wallabies fan. Because I think it's pretty interesting as well when you consider the longevity increasing in sport. You know, guys are playing all kinds of sport deeper into their 30s and even 40s. And the idea of a career break is completely normal. So it almost looks from the outside that you could be living a version of that.
Yeah, well, it doesn't feel like that because the body is certainly doing some work at the moment. It's a different tax on the body, this game. Not any sort of harder or worse. The lungs definitely are trying to get more air in, and the legs are filled up with more lactic probably than the 15s, but it's not as brutal a game as 15s, and there's not 150 kilo guys running down every week at you. And look, time will tell. It is a hard game and you've got to be fully committed. And, you know, I like to try and hold myself to a high standard, and I think that's the right thing to do when you're playing in a team, is to try and give your best. And, you know, if I'm no longer hungry to do that, then that's probably time to walk away.
I think Australian rugby fans love seeing you back in the green and gold. Michael Hooper, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks a lot.
Headlines. And the Matildas have a range of injury headaches ahead of their friendly with Mexico. Tony Gustafsson has been testing out his squad in closed-door matches in the United States this week. And fans will get an idea of how they're tracking for the Olympics when they play Mexico Wednesday. But they're missing some stars. Obviously, Sam Kerr out with that ACL issue. Add to that Katrina Gorry, Claire Hunt, Emily Gielnick, Courtney Nevin, Chloe Legato, Ivy Lewick. They're all out through injury. Yikes. We mentioned Nestori Irinkunda last week, and the fact that he was overlooked for the Oli Roos as they seek to qualify for Paris, well, an injury to Marco Tilio meant he did get a late call-up, but ironically, the 18-year-old has turned down the opportunity. He wants to concentrate on his time with Adelaide and his development there before he makes the jump to big German club Bayern Munich. $10 million. That's what one of Winx's part owners has paid to buy the only living foal of arguably Australia's greatest racehorse. That's the most expensive thoroughbred filly ever traded globally. It's also a Southern Hemisphere record for a yearling, doubling the $5 million, which was paid for Black Caviar's half-brother back in 2013.
Last chance. Done. Godspeed. Hold your applause, please. Hold your applause. We will follow her with great interest. Godspeed, young lady. You'll make her own story. Thank you, Patty.
Debbie Kepdes purchased the filly and promptly burst into tears. Fair enough. In case you missed it, and I'll give you the tip, Freo fan and producer Poppy Penny did not. Freo was robbed over the weekend by a dud umpiring call late in their clash with Carlton, and there was a bit of subsequent noise around a potential captain's call challenge coming into the competition, a la the NRL. Well, the word out of AFL House is it's not on the table, in the short term at least. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to Stan Sport for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.